Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Mark Walters joins me. He's a national board member for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. You worked hard. A lot of gun groups worked hard. Second Amendment supporters worked hard to ensure that Governor Tom Wolf would reverse his decision. This is a big win for us. Explain it to us.
Well, you had, as a lot of governors are doing right now, Rich, you have people that are in what we see as Second Amendment activists and supporters are overstepping their authority. Governor does not have a right to suspend a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, particularly when it's needed most in the time of what we would consider to be, I think rational Americans would consider it to be, a time of national emergency, as the president himself has declared it. And I think Pennsylvania Governor Wolf saw that in the dissents that came down in the state Supreme Court's actual refusal to, they refused to hear the case. However, the dissents were strong enough that one of the dissenting justices in Pennsylvania, Wecht, who wrote that dissent, made a compelling enough case that Wolf decided, yeah, you know what, he's right about that. I don't want to block that constitutional authority. I think, and this is just my own theory over all these years of doing this, that it's possible that he felt there would be further legal action that he would lose down the road, and that he might as well go ahead and reverse course now, put some restrictions in place. And the Firearms Policy Coalition and Adam Kraut, the attorney, are looking at potentially more legal action to loosen some of those restrictions. But we applaud him, and we support him in his decision to do so. And that's what you have to do in a time like this. Wolf made the right decision.
So now Pennsylvanians will be able to visit a gun store and purchase a firearm. There's some restrictions around that, like they have to have an appointment, for example, right?
Yeah, there's some caveats there. They have to have an appointment. They have to maintain social distancing. There has to be sanitization rules that are being followed, et cetera. And I don't know specifically what those might be over and above what we're seeing elsewhere across the country. But whatever those rules that are in place in Pennsylvania must be followed. The big issue here is the appointments, and the store can remain open, brick and mortar, to facilitate the transfer of a firearm for those things that are required the person to be there. And we expect that that means that the physical background check, the NICS 4473 form, that has to be filled out in person. But we applaud his action. And Illinois governor, the same thing. In the meantime, we are preparing what looks to be, I can only say this with a vague number because it's changing every minute, but dozens upon dozens upon dozens of these lawsuits are getting ready to be filed across the country if, in fact, these people do not back down. Mayors do not, for example, have the ability to tell you that you cannot purchase the tool that you have a constitutional right to use to protect and defend your families, and we are going to be moving forward, no doubt, with more legal action. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy has already been sued, and we feel pretty confident in that case as well.
Thank God. I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I've been saying for days now, Mark Walters. I've been saying that, you know, I've got a constitutional right to have a firearm. The means by which I get one is through a gun store. And if they shut all the gun stores, they're literally now snuffing out my constitutional right. It'd be the same thing if the governor said, you know, we're not going to have social media right now because you might spread dissent in a panic, or we're not going to have newspapers right now because you might get germs on your fingers. I mean, it's so stupid. And I'm glad you guys are challenging them, because we can't let this stand.
Yeah, and you know what's fascinating also is the response that we're seeing from the quote-unquote anti-gun establishment groups, who are now, excuse me, rocked back on their heels, because no one in America is screaming for gun control right now. Millions of Americans, many of their own members, many of them liberals who really never thought they might need a gun, who now feel in a state of national panic that they might. and are now finding out that all of the BS they've been fed about being able to buy a gun online or these phony gun show loopholes, all this, they're all finding out that that's not true. Now they're going, we know that because dealers across the country are getting calls from them, from California residents trying to find guns from dealers outside who tell them, we're not allowed to do that. People are shocked saying, what do you mean? I can't buy my gun now. Or if they do get into a gun shop in California, what do you mean I have to wait 10 days? It's okay for me, but not for thee. So we're seeing a sea change. There's a huge paradigm shift here going on where Americans are saying, hey, I have a right to defend myself in a time, particularly in a time of crisis. And these laws, this has nothing to do with crime. This is about controlling my effort to be able to purchase a firearm. And I don't like what I'm seeing.
Mark Walters is a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and a broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He joins me now after Pennsylvania governor did an about face on gun dealers. So New Jersey's, you said you sued Murphy. Murphy's being sued, my governor in New Jersey. Can I, as a New Jerseyan, cross the bridge and purchase a firearm in Pennsylvania right now?
No. And many, many people who believed the hype from the anti-gun establishment thought that that was possible. Of course, that's not possible. You can buy a long gun, but the shop is closed, and no. But I don't know if Pennsylvania's rules allow for that. Jersey's wouldn't allow you to bring it back anyway.
Right.
The restrictions that you have placed on you in the state of New Jersey are so draconian, it's hard to even keep track of them. The two organizations right now that need to be applauded in New Jersey are the New Jersey Second Amendment Society and its executive director, Alexander Rubian, and the Second Amendment Foundation, of course, and CCRKBA, with the great Alan Gottlieb, who is heading up this effort at keeping these people in check. And I want to remind people, Rich, who Alan is and what the Second Amendment Foundation is. You may very well remember the travesty we saw during Katrina, old ladies being knocked to the ground by government troops taking their firearms, going house to house. It was Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation that put a stop to Mayor Ray Nagin at that time in 2005 and effectively sued. And that gave way to what we see as emergency powers acts across the country today, which in my state of Georgia, I am protected. The governor cannot take away my right to keep and bear arms. That was a direct result of Mr. Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation's actions. And Murphy knows that he's up against a formidable opponent. So I think you'll see New Jersey's restrictions struck down, but we're going to have to try to fast track that case.
Mark, I'm so glad you brought up Katrina, because I was explaining to people yesterday on social media that they have confiscated weapons before under the idea of there's a crisis, there's an emergency. And so they have taken people's firearms away. And people have to remember that. They often use these things as excuses. They'll put out phrases like civil unrest, keep the peace, et cetera, to not only just close the gun stores, but take the ones that are already in circulation.
Yeah, and we see this fake term, and this is being exposed now in a huge way, and that is when you have a governor like Murphy, or you have a governor like Virginia's Governor Northam, who, when he took power after 25 years of Democrats being essentially obsolete, the first 12 things they did was institute 12 new gun control laws. They didn't fix infrastructure. They didn't go after fixing the Bay Bridge tunnels. They didn't fix schools they're always crying about. They went after law-abiding citizens' gun rights. And you have to ask yourself this question. What is it about their agenda that requires them to do that before they do anything else? Why is it they're trying to disarm Americans? And that's what we're seeing here right now, is the ability of some people who have great power, giving themselves more power, suspending a constitutional right that they don't have the authority, and God knows they don't have the moral authority to do it. And we're seeing the other people on the other side realize, hey, I may be wrong here. This is not about safety. This is about my safety requires that I be able to defend myself and my family should there be unrest, which looks likely in certain areas of the country right now, particularly with the media-induced panic that we're seeing.
Yeah, well said. I appreciate the hard works of you and Alan Gottlieb. Mark Walters, thanks for joining us in Philadelphia. Keep up the good fight, my friend. We've got a lot of people counting on you, and we'll talk again soon.
I miss my Jimmy's cheesesteaks on 4th and South, brother. Call me anytime.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.